Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Believe in Vikings with B-Mac and Baker. I'm here with Brian McKinney. Ron Saw, Sally is off for her birthday. And we brought in Wes Johnson from Vikings territory. He lives out in San Francisco. He's also on the NFL show, NFL Trend Zone. And he is a Vikings brain. So we're going to pick that this evening for about 25 minutes or so. We're going to chat about whether or not we'd rather see Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton, because Winston's a little banged up. He'll probably play, but if he's not effective, what about Dalton? We'll speak about some of the items that scare us about the New Orleans Saints. It's been about 2 years since we've seen them. I'll talk about the Vikings defense, and then we'll offer predictions. That's on the docket for Believe in Vikings. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information, from live in-game betting props and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your very first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V-5-0, BLEAV50, B-L-E-A-V-5-0. To receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. The 2-1 Vikings take on the 1-2 Saints across the ocean. The game kicks off at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. And it's kind of a rivalry matchup. So to any first-time listeners, Bryant, I want to level set with you. So when you sit down on a Sunday and you watch the football, are the Saints near the bottom of your list because of the bad memories?
Yeah, and that's where I dislocated my finger at the following year. because I was so close. My first NFC championship experience, and it was against them. And yeah, they'll be across the pond playing against the Vikings, who I feel like has a better chance.
I hear you there. Yeah. All right, let's get into some of the nuts and bolts stuff. Wes, I'll start with you. So the Jameis Winston, who is their QB1, did not practice today. I think he's suffering from some sort of back malady. He's supposed to practice tomorrow. That's what we were told anyhow today. Would you rather face Jameis or Andy Dalton, who's probably a top three backup quarterback in the league? Knowing what you know with a hobbled Winston, rather face Winston or Dalton, Wes?
I'd rather face Dalton.
Okay.
I think for as far as intangibles that these two quarterbacks bring, I think Winston has more intangibles that could possibly doom this Vikings defense. They've been very susceptible to the short to intermediate passes underneath the umbrella coverage. And with Olave, Michael Thomas, Javaris Landry, I think Winston could have a day where he feasts with that coverage. And Dalton, on the other hand, we've seen the ups and downs with Dalton in Chicago. He's far removed from his time in Cincinnati. And I would much rather go up against Andy Dalton than Jameis Winston.
Do you, you must assume, or maybe you don't, that if Winston's a go, then he's going to be, you know, pretty healthy. Like,
yeah, I mean, healthy enough. I know the rigors of the NFL season can wear on guys, but it's week four. So, you know, hopefully he came into the season fairly healthy, and this is just, you know, a little bang up that he can, you know, adjust to and treat.
Well, he can start doing that next week.
Well, of course.
Ron, Dalton or Winston, which one would you rather face?
So I would rather see Winston. A couple of reasons. One, I do think he's, from all reports, it sounds like he's dealing with a lot of pain. So that may make him skittish in the pocket. Obviously Ramczyk and Andres Pete are also on the injury list. So that's two of their offensive linemen. So Winston, you know, if he's in pain and if you get to him, maybe like he's good, he's bound to throw some up for grabs. Like he just does. You don't reach the 30-30 club without, you know, just closing your eyes and throwing sometimes. The other side of that is with Dalton. What I fear is if Dalton plays, you're going to see a lot more Taysom Hill. And Taysom Hill, notoriously, at least with his legs, kills the Vikings. And the Vikings, so far to this point, haven't shown, again, it was Hurts, but they haven't shown the ability to contain a mobile quarterback. Now, Taysom Hill also can't throw the ball. Like, sure, he has a good arm, a strong arm, but he's not accurate. So I would much rather see Jameis Winston than that combo that you're going to have to deal with. Because Dalton, yes, while he's one of the better backups in the league, like Wes said, his Cincy days are behind him. But he's still a guy that, I mean, we don't do well against backup quarterbacks anyways. So you get these guys that there's not a whole lot of recent film on, and that could be problematic, especially the way our, you know, what I've been voicing my concern about with our defensive scheme, and how that's kind of been, you know, soft. So I'd rather go against Winston and just get some pressure.
With Winston, believe it or not, he's played in the NFC his whole career, and he's only played the Vikings once. It's very, very kind of weird. You'd think by now you'd see him about two or three times. But he, the Vikings beat them before they got hot in 2017. They took them down on September 24th, 2017, pretty handily, if I recall correctly. And that was before, you know, the Bucs got good with Brady and whatnot. Bryant, the Vikings are nursing some injuries of their own. Dalvin Cook, Za'Darius Smith, and Andrew Booth didn't practice. I know you had some injuries, but not anything that really kept you out of games, but from your teammates and whatnot, like what goes into the questionable status? When does a player know if he's going to play or not?
They're over there now, right?
No, the Vikings haven't left yet, I don't think.
Oh, really? They would know by like Thursday or Friday.
Also,
for sure they're going to play.
When you played, like the injury.
But sometimes you say questionable. If you said they actually held out of practice, then okay. But sometimes when it's questionable, they still play. They still practiced.
Yeah.
So you may, I don't know if you remember this or not, but back in when you played, I think this is within the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, they changed it where it used to be probable, questionable, you know, doubtful, out. Like they used to be, you know, kind of looking at it from a fantasy standpoint, 25, 50, 75, 100% whether they're going to play, but they got rid of the probable. And so everyone's questionable right off the bat. And like, I guess, do you recall from your playing days to, cause anyone who was probable, like they were playing, but questionable was legitimately a 50-50 split. In your playing days, were there ever any kind of massaging of the, like, I know Brady has been on the injury report his entire career. Like Kenny Mayne did a great,
I don't know. I think it's a mental thing. Like have people on their report, sometimes to have them on there, sometimes not to have them on there at all. So it was like a mind game to a sense too. So that makes the team prepare for them possibly being there and prepare for them possibly not to be there. And then if they're not playing, it's like you didn't get a chance to really study the backup. So it kind of goes either way.
Okay. Bryant, how much say does the player have when it comes to, you know, hey, my shoulder's fine, I'm going to play, but the trainer says, you know what, you're not playing. Is there internal arguments or?
I think a lot of time the trainer rules you out. Then you know.
Okay, I see. And you don't really have a say?
Your say is like they're going to do things to test it out to see how you feel and stuff like that. But if the trainer just says, like, no, you can't go, you just can't go.
Was there never a time in your career where the trainer said, nope, you're good, and you're like, yeah, I don't feel quite right?
Yeah, when I had to stay in a training room overnight. Remember I told you that story? And
you better tell again.
I broke my ankle, and I thought I had a high ankle sprain. It was broken. So we just did those little treatments during the week, and I slept overnight in the training room to heal this ankle that never, like, fully healed that season. And then, yeah. So I didn't really have no say because I was kind of like misled, but we never did no x-ray that season to find out that it wasn't a high ankle sprain, it was broke. So that's the situation.
Yeah.
Did you need surgery on that?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. With the fact that he could tell me years later that it was broken there, who knows? But at that point, a lot of, you know, scar tissue and calcium deposit, whatever, you know, and it filled in by the time.
So, Wes, the Saints are 1-2 and probably need a win more than the Vikings do if they want to be a wild card team. And, you know, we talked about Jameis Winston already. The defense is pretty good. Usually the offensive line, when it doesn't have dudes on the injury report, is good. What scares you, Wes, about these 2022 Saints led by Dennis Allen?
The weapons that I mentioned before on offense, particularly in the passing game, just because I see that as an area of weakness for this Vikings defense, at least early on in the games. They have tightened up the coverage and the defense as the game goes on. But as we saw in the Philly game, if they allow the opposing offense to kind of explode, it puts a lot of pressure on our offense, which is still going through some growing pains, and I don't know if they're fully ready to handle a gargantuan comeback. I know they did so last week against Detroit, and this isn't the same Detroit, but at the same time, you don't want your offense to have to do that week in and week out. So that is one. And then also the Saints defense is talented and they are definitely streaky. They can get hot and make plays really quick. So kind of keeping them off balance and in check early on, I think will help both phases of the game.
Ron, if one operates under the pretense that the Vikings probably won't beat the Dolphins because the Dolphins are suddenly good, which Wes predicted back in like June, they kind of have to win this week because you don't want to keep bouncing back between 500 because that's just like last year. So what scares you about these Saints, generally speaking?
You know, Wes alluded to it, those weapons that they have on the outside, like Chris Olave is, you know, really starting to come into his own. And obviously Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry, you know what they are. They're consistent, you know, Pro Bowl caliber players. While, they may not be at the top of their game, they're still going to pose problems for our cornerbacks. So hopefully that doesn't become, or that gets a little negated by the quarterback play, whether hurt Jameis or an Andy Dalton. But really for me, it's the physicality of their defense. Marshawn Lattimore is one of the best corners in the game. So how are they going to match up with Jefferson? Are they going to go the Darius Slay route, or are they going to go the Lions route where they're just going to have a bunch of eyes on him? So I hope that we're able to kind of scheme, you know, against that, because I don't think the other side corner, I don't know if it's still Jenkins or not, but they're not much that I'm really concerned about. They have had a good defense now for a few years, but I think a lot of that is also predicated on when they play at home in, in that stadium. So the fact that we're playing in London, they don't have that home field advantage. Brian, you can attest to this as a left tackle, especially in that Superdome where the noise, it's just like at the Metrodome here, like there's a distinct advantage. So now a neutral site game, you know, it's just going to be loud in general, because I know that stadium's huge, but I don't think it's going to be any competitive advantage one way or another.
When we talked about just a second ago with the Dolphins, Bryant, we touched on this Monday too. Can you start to feel a buzz right now in Miami about the Dolphins, or is it a little premature?
Yeah, actually, I think they play again tomorrow night. Right, they play Cincinnati. It is, and if they win this, and the buzz will continue to keep going, and then all of a sudden you see the fans in the stadium become packed, because that's how Miami does. It'll start to be a buzz then. And the city will start to really rally behind them, and then you'll start seeing more celebrities at the game and all that type of thing. And the Dolphins haven't been good or started off this well in a while, so it does bring some excitement back to the city. And this is a city that I can't say is always a football city. They have their certain diehard fans, but more people are starting to come out when they know the team is winning and doing well.
Wes, tell us what you saw early on about the Dolphins that the rest of the world is now finding out.
Yeah, once they added Tyreek in the offseason, just with Tyreek and Waddle, they both had a high percentage of win rate off the line of scrimmage, which helps create separation early on. And then Tua, I think, was one of the top quarterbacks in the league for fitting the ball into a tight window, and just kind of mentally putting those two together, I thought that it would be a recipe for success for them. And early on, it seems to be. That defense as well has been stout the last few years. I think they were a playoff team last year, but Tua got hurt early, and they lost seven in a row, and then they turned around and won seven in a row. So just everything that I saw from the year prior and going into this season, I thought they had as good a shot as any to make a push this year.
And they've proven it with 3-0 start and ousting the insurmountable feeling Bills last week in a kind of a wacky game. Ron, before we get to predictions, I want to talk about the Vikings defense. I think last week or one of these last shows that we did, I rattled off, you know, from memory, all the dudes on the depth chart, which should signify or suggest that this shouldn't be just some shell defense that's 28th in the league. That there's no way on God's green earth with all the dudes they have, starters, that they should just be terrible. So do you foresee, once they kind of acclimate and gel, that this defense stiffens up over the next couple weeks or month or whatever it might be?
Honestly, I need to see it before I can believe it. And it's, for me, it's not a matter of the names or the personnel that's there. To me, it's 100% scheme at this point, because again, going back to a 3-4 defense, the whole idea is to create confusion and get pressure. We haven't done any of that, and we haven't gotten receivers off their spots. So we're playing very soft coverage and, you know, not adding any extra pressure. And even more so, we're dropping Daniil into coverage more than I would like. I mean, I understand in a 3-4, you do mix it up and you have different guys coming. So you throw them off guard. But if I have one of the best pass rushers, especially, you know, he's the youngest to ever get 50 sacks, I'm unleashing him as much as I can. I don't want him dropping into coverage. I don't care how big and athletic he is. Let Za'Darius Smith do that because he has experience in that role. Let Daniil just wear out the tackle. Because he's going up against a right tackle too. So it's not the premium. I mean, Lane Johnson's when Philly is different because he's one of the best tackles in the league, you know, whether it's steroids or not, but he's elite at that position. But typically, as Brian again can attest to, the left tackle is the better one, or usually that's the one that gets all the notoriety. So if you're going up against the right tackle and I'm Daniil Hunter, I'm salivating as much as I can, and I want to rush the quarterback. So I just need to see more consistent pressure generated from the defensive scheme, because we have the personnel that can do it. Our defensive tackles with Harrison Phillips and Dalvin Tomlinson, there's a lot of times where they get excellent push, they eat up the double team, and they do a good job. But yet we still get gashed for 6-7 yards on the ground. So again, I don't think it's personnel related. There are times when, you know, someone might be in the wrong place. But I think Donatel's got to really show his merit. I mean, he's been around the league long enough. He knows what he's doing. I'm not sitting here and saying I know more than him, but I want to see it. I don't want to see vanilla defense. We've seen vanilla offense over the past few years. I don't want to see vanilla defense.
It kind of just be go figure if we get a vanilla defense.
Yeah.
Bryant, in the 2 years we've been doing this show, a lot of our time is spent talking about offensive lines. And one of the things you've said in the past is that an offensive line takes about 4 to 6 weeks to come together in its purest form. Can you attest that a defense might take that long too?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is different for a defense to me, I feel, because a lot of defense players, like defensive ends and stuff like that, defensive line, they just have to control a gap or shoot a gap. And then on time, they really got to communicate if they're on a game. With offensive line is you got to call out the mic, the Sam, and recognize things on the fly because they make adjustments on the fly. And they get used to like taking the proper steps because we're double teaming together and things like that. So that kind of is a more of a rhythm thing. And if one person on the offensive line makes a mistake on a play, you know, it's a bad play. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good chance. But then if you have a defense where everyone on the defense can get blocked and the one defensive end or tackle gets through, makes a sack, that's a big play for them. So I feel like it's more, you got to have chemistry over there though, but I feel like there's a lot more chemistry needed on offensive line because they have to think on the fly sometimes.
Wes, on our NFL theme show, I think 2 years in a row, last year in 2020, we kind of wondered what the Kansas City Chiefs was doing, defense was doing for the first half of the season. It would just kind of dick around and not get serious until November. So I'm hoping that maybe this is what the Vikings do too, because I just don't think that the dudes that headline the depth chart are unbecoming of at least an average defense, because thankfully right now it's standing up in the right spots and it's a clutch defense somehow. But when you watch the first three quarters, so to speak, it's terrible. It's reminiscent of the old days, and not the good days of the Vikings, but when you and I were growing up and watching the team. So I'm hoping that it can still gel. Do you foresee a time in the near future, Wes, where the defense becomes better than it is right now?
Yeah. I believe so. Just to kind of piggyback on what Bryant was saying regarding the offensive line, I think if you look defensively, the secondary of a defense is kind of tasked with the same communication and things that the offensive line is. Offensive line, you have to account for the linebackers and how they're shifting, and then that can all change post snap. Same thing with the secondary. You have to deal with motion and all that. And if you blow your coverage, you have who was it? Devontae Smith over the top for 67 yards. So
as Watkins.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. So I think the communication that will come. It doesn't help with having the injuries that we have. I'd like to see Booth out there a little bit more. We'll have Harry back, which will help. He is a great communicator on this defense, having done so for, I think it's 11 years now. So having him out there will definitely help. Our safeties, I mean, man, one man goes down, the other man steps in, and we are deep at safety, and that's a beautiful thing to see. Just need to to see it all come together and gel. So I think over the course of a couple of these games, that should happen.
You know, the weird thing about that safety thing, Wes, it's really just, it feels like a Vikings thing because it's been that way, whether it was Anthony Harris coming up, Sendejo looking better than he really was, Cameron Bynum last year, Metellus. It's like whoever goes in there is destined to at least have a good game and usually parlay it into a good season.
Yeah. And going back even further back, you know, Brian Russell came in and led the league in picks 1 year. And, you know, Willie Alford had some good games out there. And, you know, Jamarcus Sanford came in and, you know, was a tackling machine. So, yeah, it's we've always, you know, since my days of remembering Robert Griffith growing up, it's, you know, we've always, it's never been a true weakness. Cornerback, on the other hand, we had years where that was awful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we made a deal with the devil or something because that has been a problem. I wanted to note one thing. Kirk Cousins has been to London twice. I was on a show for New Orleans WLL radio, and they asked me if we should have the same fears about Cousins in prime time about Cousins going to London. And he's been there once. He threw for a career high 458 yards, and the Commanders tied the Bengals, which is a very Kirk Cousins little paragraph I just put together there with all of the juicy numbers and the tie. Let's get into our prediction segment. Ron, you could probably appreciate this. When we were about to play the Eagles, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to pick the Eagles because of their offensive and defensive trenches. I've thought about this one all week, and I've settled on the Vikings mainly because Jameis is banged up, and I think that the Vikings or the Eagles are a much better team than the Saints were. But I'm not confident like I was last week when I was going to pick the Vikings was almost wrong. But I think I'm going to settle on the Vikings 24-21. Ron, what is your prediction and why?
I got Vikings at 27 and the Saints at 20. I think there's going to be some give again with, you know, Davenport's on the injury list and some of the other guys. Like, again, I think it'll be treated different with some of these injuries because it is in London and because of the travel, because of just all those factors. So I think that bodes well for the Vikings in the sense that they are the healthier team at this point. And then Jameis is going to give you multiple chances for picks. I think the Vikings, if they capitalize on those, they'll be able to put the offense in good situation to put up some points. So, what did I say? 27-20 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, we'll take that. Bryant, you were correct last week. You picked the Vikings in a close game and bada bing, the Vikings won in a close game. What do you got for week 4 Saints Vikings in England?
I think it'll be a close game again. I'm going to say 20-24. I just think it'll be like a dogfight out there. I don't think it'll be like much separation. I think the Vikings will be able to take advantage of not having to deal with that crowd noise in New Orleans. So that's why I said this is a game that they need to win because it's supposed to be an away game for them anyway. So take advantage and win this game.
And then a reminder to everybody that's listening and everybody on the show to get up early because that game is not a traditional, what we call noon games in the Midwest. It is an 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So, Bryant, that'd be 9:30 for you, sir. NFL Network, I think, for most folks. Wes, I'm kind of curious to where you go here. Usually I can get a drop on what you're thinking, and I don't know what you're going to predict for this one.
I will be up at 6:30 watching this thing on the West Coast. I actually love when these games happen because, 6:30 come and goes. I'm barely awake by the time the game ends, and I'm ready to go about with my day.
And is that watching 12 hours of more football, or is that going to be productive husband stuff?
Oh, yes.
All right.
12 hours of football. I am going to echo what Brian said, 24-20 Vikings on this one. The defense continues to tighten in the second half. They don't allow a fourth quarter score for the fourth consecutive game, and they continue to build off that. So 24-20 Vikings.
And if that happens, and Wes is correct, and he's pretty damn good with these predictions, then we'll really start to bang that drum about not allowing points in the fourth quarter because they have allowed through 3 games 0 fourth quarter points, and 4 games would signify a serious trend. And it's such a change of pace from last year when that was the kryptonite, was the situational defense. So, all right, Bryant, any closing arguments from you, sir, until we log off until Monday?
I'm just wondering, when do they travel?
They did this
tomorrow.
Yeah, they did this very strange compared to how other teams did it. They basically treating it kind of like a road game, like, you know, like an average road game to the Kansas City or something. So yeah, I believe they leave tomorrow, and I think usually when teams go to London, sometimes they almost go the whole week, but not these guys.
Okay, yeah, that's all I was concerned about was when they leave. Yeah,
me too.
You got to adjust to the time.
Yeah, right. Wes and I went to Hawaii together this summer, and we didn't do anything like go work and play football. However, you know, you had to get used to that, and it took damn near 3 days. So, All right, we'll be back Monday with Sal Spice. She will be on what we call a post game show. Wes, where can we find you on Twitter, sir?
At Wesley A. Johnson.
Awesome. And then he and I also record the Trend Zone, NFL Trend Zone show, which will probably be out later tonight. All right, that's all we got. We'll talk to you guys after Viking Saints on Monday evening. Skol, baby.
And also, well, Sally's not here, but happy birthday, Sally. Oh,
happy birthday, Sally. So.
My bad. Yep.
And just a tidbit, I will probably be back next Monday with you guys. Sally, she's going to be in San Francisco, actually. So we're going to meet up for the Monday Night Football game, and we'll do a little co-op.
Oh, perfect. All right. Okay. So we'll have a crowded room, but for the better next Monday to break down hopefully a 3-1 football team.
There you go.
All right. Later, perfect. Gentlemen.
Later.
Okay.
All right. Take it easy. Have a good one.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money
at Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.